Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio.
Gonna tell it like it really is. We know Haney doesn't give a sh. Silencing critics, eliminate misses. Two chips never accept on shoulders to get better. Everybody knows the name, read about it. We're golf teachers, Hall of Fame. Never doubt it. It's time for the truth. Here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. It's time for the truth, here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. Yeah. Listening to Haney.
Welcome everybody to the podcast. We are going to react today to the big news about Tiger Woods and his recent back surgery. Where this puts him, where this might put him, it's anybody's guess, but schedule, when's he going to play, if he's going to play, how's he going to do? We got a lot of stuff to talk about on the Hank Haney Podcast. So the big news comes out. Tiger has had his fifth back surgery. This is a microdiscectomy, cleaning up a little piece of a disc that was pinched on a nerve that was causing a radiating pain down his left leg. Catches everybody by total surprise. He just played in the PNC father-son that was back, middle of December. And, you know, here we are, middle of January, you know, basically about a month later. And he has the backs. Nobody knew this was coming. Nobody, you know, not Bobby Herrig from ESPN, who he's their go-to guy with giving the information out. Not the note of Begay, the note of the apologizer. Tiger's friend for 30 years. He didn't know anything about it. Matter of fact, they asked note of Begay on the golf channel whether he saw any signs of this, happening or coming, or, you know, had he been laboring or looked like he was having trouble walking or whatever. And no. The back surgery, you know, happened, I guess, from what they say now, 23 days ago. So that was information that came from Rory McIlroy. It's amazing how all these guys who don't know anything get asked about Tiger, and whatever they have to offer is what he parcels out so that they'll answer in a certain way. It's absolutely amazing. And, you know, the last thing they want to do, the whole Tiger camp, is to tell you kind of what's going on or give you an idea of what's going on. Now, somehow they kept this under wraps for 23 days, which is really amazing. I mean, it is amazing the way that they can do that. I mean, there's the, you know, most famous athlete in the world, arguably. And for 23 days ago, he had back surgery, and we just found out about it a couple of days ago. It's really incredible. It really is. But when you're talk about this back surgery, and where's this is Tiger's fifth back surgery. Now, geez, you know, I've had one back surgery, and it wasn't, you know, by back surgeries, it wasn't a big deal. They went in there and took out a cyst that was pinched on a nerve. I mean, it was a big deal because of how badly the nerve pain hurt. But it wasn't a big deal surgery-wise. It's not like I had back fusion. It's like, you know, they just took the cyst out and, you know, boom, you know, walk out of there. And I was, you know, much better. Couldn't sit down going in, walk right out. But still, they cut through the muscles. And it's never an easy thing. I mean, when they cut through the muscles, you're going to have pain. I mean, that's just the way it goes. I mean, you got to get in there somehow. So as non-invasive as it is, or as easy as it is, it's still never that easy. And I really, you know, when I had my surgery, it took a long time. I mean, it took a long time to feel like, you know, it was right. And I mean, it's honestly, it still doesn't feel right. But it took a long time before I could hit golf balls and not feel it. Like I could move okay. I could literally go out and play pickleball, but when I went to go and hit golf balls, I could feel the vibration. It's amazing when you have something like that, the amount of vibration that goes through your body when you hit a golf ball, and you know, especially a driver. I mean, you hit a driver. Of course, you know, you're crashing into that ball with the club at, you know, whatever, 110, 115 miles an hour. And it sends vibration all the way up through your body. And I felt it for months and months and months. I felt that vibration going, you know, like up through my back. I guess it was the muscles healing or whatever. But it's never easy. And you know, I've heard people talking about, you know, Tiger and this back situation. I know someone, a friend of mine, that works with the trainer, physical therapist, whatever, exercise therapist that helped Tiger through the fusion and got him going. Of course, that guy's no longer on the job. He was opposed to all the weightlifting that Tiger was doing. And of course, you know, as happens so many times with Tiger, if, you know, he doesn't like what the person's hearing or saying, and it doesn't like what he's hearing, and then, you know, next thing you know, it's like, you know, you're out of there and onto the next guy that'll, you know, kind of let me do what I want to do. But there had been, you know, talk and you know, rumors that I heard that, you know, okay, his back is, you know, going to be a problem. I mean, it's just what they say. You know, they always say that, and Tiger has said this, that the you know, torque and the, you know, stress is going to go somewhere. And if you fuse, you know, these two joints, it's going to go up to the next one. So who knows what the real story is, but it sounds like, you know, it went good. Of course, what are they going to say? I mean, when the doctors say it went good and we expect to make a full recovery. I mean, I'm trying to think of a surgery on a professional athlete where they don't say that. I mean, they always say that. I mean, it's like right out of surgery, everything went good. We expect to make a full recovery. I mean, that happens when a guy tears his Achilles tendon. That happens when a guy tears his ACL. That happens when a guy has shoulder surgery. I mean, it doesn't matter what the surgery is. The doctor says the same thing all the time. I mean, no doctor comes out of surgery and saying, well, you know, it didn't really go great. I didn't like what I saw in there. This is going to be a 50-50 situation. Maybe I'll wait to see how the rehab goes before I make a comment. None of that ever is said. I mean, the only thing that's said is the same thing every single time, 100% of the time. It's, you know, surgery went good and expect to make a full recovery. I guess they didn't say that about Alex Smith. I guess that was, you know, one. But that's what they, it seems like they say that all the time. That's what they say. And when I hear people say stuff that they just give the same written answer every single time, I don't pay attention to it. I mean, it's really meaningless information. I mean, didn't they, remember they said that when he had his second back surgery? They came out, they had a second back surgery. This is back to 2015. Tiger had his second back surgery. They said everything went great. We expect to make a full recovery. 3 weeks later, he had another back surgery. I mean, what happened to that? Everything went great. I expect to make a full recovery. Now, anybody that believes any of that stuff, I mean, it's just a guess. I mean, and that's the problem. Like when I had my back situation, at first I rehabbed and I tried to get some of the shots they give you, and I tried that. Because, you know, even my doctor friend said, you know, if you go and get an MRI, it's not going to look great. You know, you're 60 something years old. It's not going to look great. There's going to be something that doesn't look right. And next thing you know, they just start fishing around. And that's pretty much the case, because there's no way that they know exactly, you know, how everything is going to turn out. There's just no way. So anything that I read on this, any doctor comments, any of that stuff, you know, prognosis, any of that, I don't pay attention to any of it. Doesn't mean anything. We'll see. But I want to get into the comments that Nota Begay and Roy McIlroy make, because they're two of the guys that did make comments. I can't wait to talk about this part. This will be interesting. For sure. All right. Voodoo pain relief cream. Obviously, if you've got a back problem that needs surgery, you're probably going to need more than a topical pain cream. But if you've got something that's bothering you, joint pain, muscle soreness, whatever it is, Voodoo pain relief cream is the best product on the market. I'm confident in telling you that. Matter of fact, when I had my back surgery, I was using my Voodoo pain relief cream, and I remember, you know, thinking to myself, geez, I mean, it works good on my knees. It's working good on my elbow. And, you know, my back is just absolutely, you know, killing me. And I, you know, it's just not doing the trick on my back. Well, they said, you know, Hank, you can't use any pain creams, you know, week before surgery. So I had to stop using it. And when I did, then I realized when I stopped using it, I realized how good it had been working. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, it's been working great, because I am so much worse now than I was. And, you know, I realized then how good it was working. Anyway, I want you to try this product. I want you to try it for free. Go to voodoopainrelief.com. You get your free 2-week supply. If you've got aches and pains, give it a try. Muscle soreness, whatever it is, joint pain, give it a try. VoodooPainRelief.com. We'll be right back. So I was on Twitter, and I'm, you know, looking at all these stories, and I got the Bobby Herrig story on ESPN, which tells you nothing about this whole situation with Tiger. Didn't know anything, doesn't know when he's going to play, doesn't, you know, and just everybody just starts, you know, speculating. He's like the golf expert, so they talk to him. That has nothing to bring to the story at all. Doesn't know anything about it, anything. Then we got Nota Begay. He's on the Golf Channel. I watched that deal. And, you know, they put him on. Now, they give me the illusion that, like, he's, you know, been talking to Tiger the whole time. Well, and they introduce him as Tiger's close friend for 30 years. Okay, here's a close friend for 30 years. Now, I was with Tiger for 6 years. I spent 150 days a year around Tiger. I saw Nota Begay three times. That's how many times I saw him in 6 years. And those were times when he came to Orlando to work with this sports psychologist, Gio Valente, and needed a place to stay. And he stayed with Tiger. I mean, I swear to God, it was like he barely gave him the time of day. Just like, there's your room, you know, see you later when you get back, whatever. But close friend for 30 years. Now, he said he spoke to Tiger. This is about the back surgery. But then it kind of turned out that it didn't sound like he really spoke to him. It sounded like he texted him. Oh, you know, with the world today, I mean, I think it's, you could say the same thing. I mean, you could say, hey, okay, I spoke to him. That might mean you text back and forth. It pretty much means the same thing. But he didn't speak to him, really, I don't think. He texted him. And I can imagine how this kind of was. He texted, hey, bud, you know, how you doing? And he said, doing good. Just a little, you know, whatever, minor cleanup. I'm hitting balls right now. And now, and then everything else is like speculation. So they asked the Nota Begay, you know, did you see any warning signs of this? No, you followed him at Masters closely. You saw him play at the PNC, the father son. No, didn't see anything. The only thing he could offer was he said that his clubhead speed had dipped down below 115 miles an hour, which we all know his clubhead speed has been down the last year. I mean, you know, if you look, all you got to do is look at driving distance. I mean, it's not hard to figure out. Tiger was 77th in 2020 in driving distance, 296 yards. Now, there's like 30, you know, I understand he's 45 years old, but there's 30-something players, 32, 35 players that average over 300 yards on the PGA Tour, and he's at 296, 77th. But if you looked at his driving distance 2021, okay, that's once again small sampling, but he would have ranked 198th. So his speed is down. You can see how slow Tiger has been swinging. But it didn't look like he was really, you know, necessarily in pain. It's just, I thought, you know, well, he's just kind of going with a slow, smooth swing and he's got it kind of figured out and, you know, he's finding his ball. And I mean, I thought he hit the ball good at the PNC. I thought he hit the ball good in the other time I saw him play was with a match with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Phil. He hit the ball good there. Yeah, obviously his results weren't great last year on the PGA Tour. We know that. One top 10 finish, and he was not a factor anywhere. Although he did get off to a decent start at the Masters, but, you know, didn't do anything with it. But Nota Begay, comes with that. Well, doctors are hoping for a full recovery. Of course they are. They always say the same thing. He said after he talked about him hitting balls, he said, I promise you he wasn't ripping drivers. Okay, that's just a guess. He doesn't know what he's doing, but I mean, it's pretty sure that he wasn't ripping drivers. Doesn't really know what he was doing. He didn't know. He didn't talk. He texts him. He texts him back. He said, I'm hitting balls right now. I'm gonna, you know, going to be good. Whatever. They turn this into like a 5 or 10 minute deal on the Golf Channel. And he's the expert, Nota Begay, and he didn't know anything. It's just a trick deal. I mean, there's nothing. Hey, we're gonna have an update on Tiger Woods here. Here's his good friend of 30 years, Nota Begay. Like, he hadn't spoken to him. He didn't know he was gonna have back surgery. He didn't. He texted him and said, hey, how you doing? You doing all right? I saw you had surgery. Yeah, I'm out hitting balls. You know, whatever that means. Who knows? Who knows where hitting balls is? Is that at his house? Is that in his, simulator? Is that in his backyard? Is he pitching? Is he, who knows what that really means? Doesn't really mean anything. But anyway, here's what Nota says. He says he needs to play two times before the Masters. That's what he thinks he needs to do in order to, be competitive. Because he said last year in the fall Masters, he thought he was a little rusty. I don't know if he was rusty. He didn't play good all year. I mean, there's a difference between being rusty and just being not good. I mean, there's a difference. And when you look at the statistics, they tell a really, really complete story. I'm going to get into those here in a second. But the other thing he said, and Jaime Diaz was on there. And of course, Jaime is very astute observer of Tiger. He wrote with me my book, The Big Miss, my years coaching Tiger Woods. And he asked him, he said, you know, Nota, what kind of golf do you think Tiger needs to play when he comes back? What will he be his recipe? Because he's not going to overpower a golf course. I mean, maybe his clubhead speed's gone down to 113 miles an hour, and maybe it's going to go up, okay? But it's not going to go up to 120 miles an hour. It's going to go up to whatever, 115 or thereabouts. I mean, although Tiger might crank it up to 120, because I'm sure he can. And then, you know, he'll say, you know, now I've got my speed back. And then everybody will, you know, write those articles and say he's got his speed back. But in all likelihood, it's not going to stay up because the back is still fragile. And he's 45 years old. You know, I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. That's just kind of weird. It's one thing that Notice said was, he said all these recovery shots that he hits, you know, he always contorts his body when he hits those really hard shots out of the rough or hooking it around the tree, these shots that Tiger does. He said those have taken a toll on, those take a toll on you. And, you know, that's a good point. But what Notice said was that, you know, his winning recipe is going to be hitting fairways and hitting greens. I mean, there's more to driving the ball than hitting fairways. Much more. You'd rather have distance. We've talked about this. I've talked about this a million times. You'd rather have distance, and you just want to be able to find your ball. I mean, that's the formula that works on the PGA Tour. Just keep it in bounds. Keep it out of the water. Keep it out of the woods. You can miss fairways like Bryson DeChambeau did at the U.S. Open. Just miss on the correct side, but send it. Make sure, make it go. Okay, and that's how Tiger played forever too. I mean, if you really, you know, look at it. I mean, I remember when I was coaching Tiger, and you know, you go back to 2004, 2005, 6, 7, whatever, 8, and you know, the golf media, which most of them are idiots and don't know anything about what they're talking about. But the golf media would just be all over me about, what about Tiger's fairways hit, his driving accuracy? And, you know, this was kind of before they had the statistics from Mark Brody, who did the strokes gained statistics. So the way that they judged was they looked at your distance and they looked at your accuracy. And when they looked at the distance, they said, well, you know, Tiger's, you know, not hitting it, you know, as far. And of course, he was using a piece of crap Nike golf ball that was softer than every other ball on tour, and you know, spun more on short game shots. And he liked that. The ball was 10 yards shorter than a you know, Titleist Pro V or you know, Bridgestone or a Callaway or a TaylorMade, whatever. It was just it was an awful ball, and he was the only one to use it. They didn't even sell the ball because it was unsellable because it was so bad. And he was using that ball, and he could have used a different golf ball. I mean, even Nike made one that was better than that piece of crap. But he refused to use it, and he, you know, he was 10 yards shorter there. But I get to listen to the, you know, golf media tell me about that, and then they talk about his driving accuracy, and I'm like, guys, he doesn't drive it. His driver is not hurting him. I watch him play every round of golf he plays. His driver's not hurting him. I mean, you talk about missing this fairway or whatever, but you know, he keeps the ball in play. He's not taking penalty shots, and he's hitting it a long way. You know, relatively speaking, considering his ball is 10 yards shorter than everybody else's ball, even though you don't want to talk about that. And anyway, his driving wasn't bad. So now when they go back and they, you know, revise all the statistics, and now they have strokes gain statistics for driving, and you go back and you look, and it was like 2006 or 2007, 8, I don't forget what year, but I mean, he was like fourth or fifth in strokes gained off the tee. And this is the same period of time when, you know, they're telling me, oh, his driving's so bad. I'm like, his driving's high. And my observation was his driving wasn't bad. But people would tell me his driving's bad. And I'm like, of course, they're guys that don't know what they're talking about. They're telling me this. But I watch him every day and I'm like, his driving's not bad. I mean, he's just got to fix the big miss. That's all. Just fix the bad shot, the real bad shot. But he was like fourth, fifth, sixth, something like that, and strokes gained off the tee. His driving was fine. The point I'm making is that his game has never been hitting fairways. You know, during that time, people would say, oh, he's just hit a three-wood off the tee. If he hits a three-wood off the tee, you know, he'll be in the fairway or hit an iron off the tee and play from the fairway. I mean, you can't just play from the fairway. And I explain this to people. You can't play from the fairway 50 yards behind Rory McIlroy or 50 yards behind John Rahm or 50 yards behind Dustin Johnson or Bryson DeChambeau or whoever. You just can't. You're not going to beat somebody. I don't care how good an iron player you are. You're not going to beat somebody if you're, you know, behind them by 50 yards and you're hitting three or four clubs more than everybody else going into a hole. They're hitting an 8-iron, you're hitting a 5-iron. They're hitting a wedge, you're hitting an 8-iron. They're hitting a 7-iron, you're hitting a 4-iron. You're not going to beat somebody doing that. There's no chance. So the idea to hit fairways and greens and, you know, and then Nota Begay said, well, the way he's going to win is his winning recipe is going to be dominating with the putter. Whoa. Okay. If that's going to be the recipe, we better look at the statistics. So we'll do that next when we come back on the Hank Haney podcast. If you want to get better at your golf game, HaneyUniversity.com. You can also find some great deals on there, but the most important thing is you can register for free and you can get my instructional emails that come out on a daily basis. All you have to do is go on to HaneyUniversity.com and just give your email address and you'll get the free golf instruction coming to your email box every single day. So go there and check it out, HaneyUniversity.com. Now, before I get into the statistics and Tiger statistics, I was going to talk about what Rory McIlroy said. They interviewed Rory McIlroy at the he's at the European Tour's Abu Dhabi class, HSBC Classic. And they asked him about Tiger. And Rory goes, he's back on his feet the next day. I mean, like Rory's his best friend or something. I thought Noda was his best friend. Actually, I thought Justin Thomas was his best friend. But Rory knows. Rory loves to talk, doesn't he? I mean, does he love to talk? I mean, I like Rory McIlroy, but I mean, why is he talking about Tiger Woods? I mean, when Tiger sees people talking about him, I guarantee you, he's like, he's going to be so careful with what he tells you. He knows Rory loves to talk. So whatever he gives Rory, it's what he wants to give him and nothing, not one thing else. Well, here's what Rory says. In his words, he's talking about Tiger. It was a small procedure. Well, what's he going to say? I mean, Tiger's, you know, keeping the whole thing going. I mean, he was going to say, I had a big procedure. This is a big issue. I'm really worried about this. He's never going to say that. He's never said that one time on anything. He had five back surgeries. And, you know, afterwards one time he said, oh, I didn't know if I'd ever play again or whatever. But he's not going to say that. I mean, that's just. You know, he said it's no big deal. He's back on his feet the next day. Here's Rory. Here's Rory. Obviously, anytime you're being cut on, you know, you try to avoid that as much as you can. And I mean, yeah, obviously. But he's back on his feet the next day. That's how it works with those microdiscectomies. You're pretty much walking right out of there. So I don't think you can read too much into it. Just they're just trying to clean up a couple bits. Whatever. Nothing means nothing. Rory, the spokesperson for Tiger. I wonder how Tiger likes that. All right, let's talk about Noda and what Noda said about how Tiger's going to, you know, be able to play. You know, he's going to come back and he's got to play two tournaments and winning recipes, dominating with the putter. Dominating with the putter. Okay. Let's look at that. For years, Tiger was a great putter. I mean, statistically, he was never like the number one putter. But like when I had a conversation with him one day and he asked me like, Hank, who's the best putter? I said, you are. He said, who else? And I said, Jack Nicklaus. I said, don't give me all this stuff about, this guy or that guy or, you know, this guy's a great putter, or, you know, because people used to, you know, Brad Faxon. I mean, Brad Faxon is a great putter. I get it. But you got to look at pressure putting. Okay? Pressure putting. And I told Tiger, I said, you and Jack Nicklaus are the best pressure putters there's ever been. That makes you the best putters. So statistically, he wasn't number one, but he was up there. I mean, you know, top 10, you know, top 15, top 20, something like that. Okay, you look at it recently. The last years. And I mean, I'm kind of in denial on this too, because I've always thought Tiger was just an incredible putter. And when he puts bad now, I just think, well, he's going to, you know, he's got good days coming. I mean, he just does, because he's just too good a putter. I mean, that's just what I always observed. That's what I remember. But recently, 2018, he was 48th in putting. Yeah, well, that's doable. 66th in three putt avoidance. That's you know, pretty good. 2019. All right, here's where things start to get not so good. he was 74th in putting and 178th in three-putt avoidance. I used to harp on the three-putt avoidance all the time. I remember one year he was like 190th in three-putt avoidance, and I pointed it out to him, and the next year he finished like fifth. You know, he really made a concerted effort. His putting is not good. 2020, last year, 183rd in putting, 186th in three-putt avoidance. Okay, 2021, small sampling, I understand. 187th in putting, 186th in three-putt avoidance. Same. So when Nota Begay is saying Tiger's formula is going to be dominating with the putter, how are you going to do that? How are you going to dominate with the putter? First of all, I don't think he practices much. I wonder how much he practices and plays altogether. I mean, what, you know, what is he out there with Charlie playing nine holes? Is that his, you know, practicing with your son, your 11-year-old son, or playing nine holes or playing 18 holes with your son? And I promise you, if Tiger's out there playing with his son, Charlie, he's as concerned about Charlie as he is about his own game. I mean, he's arguably the greatest player ever. He's not worried about where he is with his game. He's concerned about, you know, helping Charlie get better. Rightfully so. I would be too. But I don't think he practices his putting. Now, he gave a little clue of that last year. Remember when he lengthened his putter like a quarter of an inch and said that he can stand up taller and he can practice for longer because his back doesn't hurt? Remember that? Well, practice longer, meaning that you weren't practicing very much. Anyway, this has been a problem with Tiger for a long, long time, this lack of putting practice. And the times that I observed him putting the best was when he put in the most amount of time putting. Just simple as that. His stroke repeated itself over and over again. It was such a great stroke. I still don't see anything wrong with the stroke. But when you're 186 in three-putt avoidance, your speed is not right. You're having trouble controlling your speed. And, you know, that's what I see. And I just don't think that he's practicing. I refuse to believe that if he's practicing a lot, he could be putting this poorly in the last few years. But he has. Those are what the statistics say. And you know, if the formula is going to be dominating with the putter, there are not a lot of guys dominating with the putter that are 187th in strokes gained putting and 186th in three putt avoidance. That's not that. That's 2 years running too, by the way. 3 years running on that amount of three putting. I mean, that's how he won the Masters. He won the Masters versus, you know, 15th major. He won that by getting around Augusta in 72 holes with one three-putt. And by the way, I've mentioned this a bunch of times too, but Brooks Koepka in that same tournament had five penalty shots and six three-putts and lost by one shot. Tiger, he won five Masters. Okay, if he could have gotten around Augusta every time that he's ever played there with only one three-putt in 72 holes, he would have won 10 Masters. Yeah, but he three-putted a lot of times that cost him an opportunity to win at Augusta. But the last time he won, he only three-putted one time. And for somebody who finishes the year, you know, 183rd in putting and 186th in three-putt avoidance and gets around Augusta with one three-putt, that is a remarkable feat. That's just the fact of the matter. Let's look at the other statistics. Tiger's approach shot to the green statistic, 2020, he was fourth. He's always been a great iron player. That goes without saying. But here's another issue. Strokes gained around the green. His chipping, his short game has not been good. It just hasn't, including sand proximity. 169th in sand proximity, 145th in strokes gained around the green. That was 2020. 2021, sand proximity, 164th. That's how close you hit it to the hole out of the sand trap. And around the green, 190th. Well, there's nothing. I mean, the statistics are awful. This is not rust. This is poor play, poor statistics. That's what this is. Strokes gained tee to green. You know, last year, 47th. Off the tee, 122nd. 47th isn't bad. But for somebody that was number one year in and year out, 47th is not good. And when you're backing that up with putting statistics and chipping statistics like that, it's not good. And that puts that puts you know, Tiger in a category really where, you know, you just can't play two tournaments and, you know, all of a sudden you just got your game. That's not feasible. That's not the way it works. You know, I mean, but I've said this many times, you know, if Tiger can play, there's an opportunity for him to win. I mean, there just is, because he's so great. If he puts himself in position, some way, some shape, somehow, he puts himself in position, he'll know what to do. But he's just going to be opportunistic. And that's just, it's not like he, you know, before it was like every time he teed it up, you thought he was going to win. And I think he's going to, you know, if he plays, he'll win. You know, somewhere down the road, he'll win if he plays. But how much is he going to play? I mean, I had him penciled in for the Farmers Insurance and the Genesis tournament. He's not playing either of those. Well, if he does what Notice said and he gets in two tournaments before the Masters, that would be the Players and then the match play. And he's not going to play back-to-back. So that would probably be the Players Championship and the match. If he played back-to-back, he'd have to play the Arnold Palmer and the Players. He's not going to want to play back-to-back. You're going to have to play the Players. You don't have to play the Arnold Palmer, so that probably puts him at the Players. And then he's not going to play Honda because his excuse will be he doesn't want to play back-to-back. So he'll play, that puts him at the WGC match play. And that's two tournaments before the Masters. And then you got, you know, after that, you got the Wells Fargo in May, and then the PGA. You got that fits in the schedule right in between. Then you got the Memorial, Jack Nicklaus's tournament in June, and that is, you know, with a break, and then the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. And then you got a month off, and you got the Open Championship. And that's eight tournaments right there. That's only eight, and you know, those, it's not just eight tournaments. Those are eight tournaments with nothing but, you know, in those tournaments, nothing but stellar fields. You know, you're not going to pick up like a win where you beat you know, two really good players like a lot of these PGA Tour events now. That's not the case. I mean, if, you know, Tiger's only playing in these tournaments, you know, it's minimal, you know, preparation. Because he always talks about, you know, he always talks about, oh, I can't wait to get back and train so I can get back on the PGA Tour. He doesn't talk about practice. I'm like, I mean, you got to train, and then you got to organize your game. Train so that you can organize your game. Train so that you can spend time organizing your game. Right now, he doesn't have that. Doesn't have either. Got to get one before you get the other. But even if you get the first one, are you motivated to get the second one? And that means they improve your game and get your game in order. And even if you do all that, you're really looking at eight tournaments. I mean, there's limited opportunities. But every time he tees it up, there is an opportunity. There's no doubt about that. I mean, even if he hasn't prepared, even if he hasn't practiced, even if he hasn't done anything, he's still Tiger Woods. It could still happen. It could still be a magical week. And if he gets in the hunt, he'll know what to do. So that's the good side of all that. But boy... he's a 45-year-old professional athlete that's had, what, four knee operations, five back surgeries. Amazing he's still going along. Really is. And, you know, I'm sure he'll go some more, too. There's no doubt about that. All right, hope everybody enjoyed it. Thanks for listening. Follow me on Twitter, at Hank Haney. Email your questions to hankhaneygolf@outlook.com. Hit the follow button on the iHeartRadio app so you get my podcast every day. Go to Voodoo Pain Relief. .com and HaneyUniversity.com to get your free offers at both of those two sites. And we'll talk to you tomorrow on the Hank Haney Podcast. Hope everybody stays safe and healthy, and we'll see you then. The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.